بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. مرحوم امام خمینی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ اپنی وصیت میں اپنے بیٹے مرحوم سید احمد خمینی کو فرماتے ہیں ان سے کہ اگر قیامت کے دن حساب جو ہے صرف اور صرف اللہ ہی لے تو بہت ہی سہل اور بہت ہی آسان ہے، لیکن اگر بیچ میں لوگوں کے بھی بیچ میں ریکوائرمنٹس اگر ہوتی ہیں، لوگوں کی بھی ڈیلنگز اگر آ جاتی ہیں وہاں پر، تو پھر بہت ہی مشکل ہوگا حساب کتاب اس قیامت کے دن. قرآن میں ایک آیت ہے، فرماتا ہے کہ ان ربک للمرصاد. مرصاد بھی جو ہے ایک چیک پوسٹ ہے اسی صراط پر اور پھر جنت کے راستے میں، اور وہاں پر لوگ روکیں گے، یعنی ڈیلنگز جو ہماری ہوتی ہیں آپس میں، ایک تو حقوق اللہ ہیں، ایک تو دوسرا جو ہے حقوق العباد ہیں، حقوق الناس ہیں، جو آپس میں جو ڈیلنگز تھی وہاں پر وہ لوگ روکیں گے. اور جو روکیں گے وہاں پر، ایسا نہیں ہوگا کہ وہاں پر کچھ پیسے لے لیے اور پھر معاف کر دیا اور پھر چھوڑ دیا، نہیں، وہاں پر تو منی ڈزنٹ ٹاک. وہاں پر جب ہم چاہیں گے کہ وہ معاف کریں ہمیں، تو معاف کرنے کے اعزام میں ہم سے کچھ لیں گے بھی، وہ ہمارے اعمال حسنات. اور پھر اگر حسنات ہی اگر لیں تو پھر ایک وقت ایسا آئے گا کہ سارے حسنات ختم ہو جائیں گے، پھر وہ کہیں گے کہ ٹھیک ہے ہم معاف تو کر دیں گے، لیکن ہمارے گناہوں کا بوجھ بھی تمہیں لینا ہوگا. اس صورت میں تو گھاٹا ہی گھاٹا ہے. انشاءاللہ اس موضوع پہ میں اور بھی تفصیل سے عرض کروں گا یہاں پر. اور پھر خود اسی سفر آخرت میں دوسرا پڑھاؤ یا دوسرا پات یا دوسرا کراس جو ہے وہ ہے عدیلت عند الموت. ایک تو سکرات ہیں، یعنی انسان جب اس دنیا سے رخصت ہو رہا ہوتا ہے تو کافی مشکلات کا سامنا کرنا پڑتا ہے. بعض لوگوں کے لیے موت جو ہے بہت ہی سخت ہو جاتی ہے، اور پھر مستحب یہ ہے کہ انسان اس شخص کو اس جگہ پر لے جائے جہاں پر وہ نماز اپنی پڑھا کرتا تھا، اگر ممکن ہو تو، جس کی وجہ سے موت جو ہے اس کے لیے آسان ہو جاتی ہے. اور اگر نہیں، ایسا نہیں ہے، تو پھر جہاں پر بھی ہے واجب یہ ہے کہ جو افراد زندہ ہیں وہ اس شخص کو قبلے کی طرف کریں، روبے قبلہ کریں، ایسا کہ جب وہ بیٹھے اپنے پلنگ کے اوپر قبلے رخ، یعنی پیر اس کے قبلے کی طرف ہوں. تو دوسرا پڑھاؤ جو ہے وہ عدیلہ ہے. عدیلہ سے مراد یہ کہ انسان مرنے کے وقت جب مر رہا ہوتا ہے، جب جان اس کی نکل رہی ہوتی ہے، تو انسان اپنے ایمان سے جو ہے وہ سوئچ کر جاتا ہے، اسے کہتے ہیں عدیلہ. مفاتیح الجنان میں ایک دعا ہے، دعا عدیلہ کے نام سے، جو کہ عام طور پہ جب شخص جو کہ مستحضر ہے اس کے پاس پڑھی جاتی ہے یہ دعا، یا یہ کہ جب وہ مر چکا ہوتا ہے تو اس کے پاس پڑھی جاتی ہے، لیکن بہتر یہی ہے کہ ہم جو ہے اس دعا سے جب تک کہ زندہ ہیں آشنا ہوں، تاکہ جب وہ دعا ہمارے لیے پڑھی جائے گی کچھ انس بھی ہو اس کے ساتھ. اس دعا کے آخر میں یہ ہے کہ اللہم انی اعوذ بک من العدیلت عند الموت، کہ خدایا میں پناہ مانگتا ہوں تجھ سے کہ مرتے وقت جو ہے موت سے، ایمان سے جو ہے میں نہ پلٹوں. تو ایمان جو ہے بعض لوگوں کا ثابت ہوتا ہے، بعض لوگوں کا جو ہے خداوند متعال بطور عاریہ بطور امانت انہیں دیتا ہے، اور پھر وہ ان سے واپس بھی لے لیتا ہے. اب جن کو خدا نے ایمان امانت کے طور پہ دیا ہے تو اس ایمان کو خدا ہی کو ہمیں لوٹانا ہوتا. تو یہاں پر کچھ چیزیں ایسی ہیں کہ معصومین فرماتے ہیں کہ اگر انسان ان چیزوں کی رعایت کرے اپنی زندگی میں, بعض دعائیں ہیں, دعاؤں کے ساتھ ساتھ نماز پر جتنی اہمیت ہے شاید ہی کسی چیز پر اتنی اہمیت ہو. ایک حدیث میں فرماتے ہیں معصوم کہ انسان جب پابندی کے ساتھ نمازیں اپنی پڑھ رہا ہوتا ہے پانچوں وقت کی, تو اس وقت ملک الموت اس شخص کی طرف جب کبھی وہ نماز کے لیے کھڑا ہوتا ہے ملک الموت دیکھتے ہیں اور دیکھتے ہیں, اور جب اس شخص کے مرنے کی بات آتی ہے جب اس کی باری ہوتی ہے تو خود ملک الموت آ کر اس کی جو ہے امداد کرتے ہیں, وہ شیطان کو خود ہی ہٹا دیتے ہیں وہاں سے اور خود ہی جو ہے تلقین کرتے ہیں شہادتین پڑھنے کی. تو یہ اسی نماز کی برکت سے جو کہ انسان پابندی کے ساتھ اپنی زندگی میں پڑھا کرتا تھا. اسی طرح تسبیح ہے حضرت زہرا سلام اللہ علیہا محمد بھی اس ادیرے یا مرتے وقت جو ہے ایمان سے انسان سوئچ کر جائے یا ہٹ جائے, اس میں بھی جو ہے کافی اس کی تاکید ہے. منازل الآخرہ لکھی گئی ہے مرحوم قمی, وہاں پر وہ فرماتے ہیں, قصہ نقل کرتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں کہ استاد فضیل بن ایاز اور ان کے کافی شاگرد تھے, اور جو ایک شاگرد تھا جو سب سے عالم تھا, جو سب سے زیادہ ذہین تھا, جب وہ مر رہا تھا یہ اس کے تخت کے پاس پہنچے اور کہا کہ کہو لا الہ الا اللہ, کیونکہ مستحب ہے کہ انسان جو ہے ریمائنڈ کرے ان شہادتین کی, اور وہ جو ہے ہرگز نہیں کہہ پایا لا الہ الا اللہ, بلکہ اس نے جواب میں یہ کہا کہ مجھے جو ہے علی اعوذ باللہ اس جملے سے نفرت ہے. تعجب کیا انہوں نے, یہ تو سب سے اچھا شاگرد تھا, سب سے اچھا, سب سے ذہین اور سب سے عالم, اور پھر کیوں اس طرح. خیر اس کا انتقال ہوا اور کچھ دن کے بعد انہوں نے جب دیکھا تو پوچھا پہلے سے اس فضیل سے وجہ کیا تھی کہ تم جب میں آیا شہادتین کی تلقین کے لیے شہادتین تم نہیں کہہ پائے. جواب میں وہ کہتا ہے کہ تین برائیاں میرے اندر تھیں جس کی وجہ سے جو ہے میں نہیں کہہ پایا. سب سے پہلے میرے اندر جو ہے نمامی, یعنی ٹیل ٹیلنگ, یہاں کی بات وہاں لگانا, یہ بیماری میرے اندر تھی. دوسرا حسد, اور تیسرا جو ہے میں بیمار تھا. ڈاکٹر نے مجھے کہا تھا کہ میں ہر روز رات کو جو ہوں ایک معین پیمانہ شراب کا پیوں, جس کی وجہ سے جو ہے میں اس آخر وقت میں جب کہ مجھے خود اقرار کرنا تھا شہادتین پڑھنی تھی, میں شہادتین پڑھ نہیں پایا. Returning to our topic, and that is the divine link which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has towards His creation. And it is an amazing link which Allah has, that whatever He has created or He has related with the mankind, it's based on His mercy. It was mentioned that it is not as such that the opening of this book, Quran, is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but the entire creation of Allah was opened with that mercy that is Rahman and Rahim. Look into Surah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan, Allamahu al-Bayan. So over there, again, the entire creation opens with love, opens with mercy, opens with being compassionate. Our fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam, he says that we Ahlul Bayt, whenever we fell sick, we get ill, or among the children, when they used to fell ill and when they had high temperature, fever, what they used to do is that they dip their hands in cold water, splash it onto that marid, onto that person who was afflicted with fever, with high temperature, apply it onto the body, that body, and loudly they used to say, Ya Ummah Fatima. That is, whenever they were afflicted, they were in pain, they called their mother. So that is tawassul that we have with her, is that tawassul which they had with her. So that is something which we have learned from them. They too, when in need, when they were afflicted, they sought help from Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. Muhammad. The perfect relationship that Allah has created with His creation is based on mahabba, love. And the same thing is with awliyaullah, that they also have created the same bond, the same link with us, based upon mahabba. And if you look into Quran, the Almighty, He has such a lot of love for His creation, that He being the Almighty, the Creator, the Sustainer, who has brought everything into existence, He dimmers Himself, He lowers Himself so much that He addresses people, mu'mineen in particular, and says that مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, that who, is there anyone from among you who could give a loan to Allah? What does it mean? That Allah, through whom, by whom everything has come into existence, He is asking for a loan from us. What does it mean? That is, He is lowering Himself so much, bringing Himself so much down, dimmering Himself to a position and asking us. Now, the reason for that, now Allah, He doesn't need anything from us. What task is it that we have fulfilled of Allah? Is there a burden which we, a task which we did, which eased His task? No, nothing. Yet He says that, is there anyone from among you who could give me some loan? The reason for that is that He wants us to grow. He wants mankind to grow and be mighty, be generous, so that wealth which does not accumulate with you, it doesn't rot, but instead it grows and it provides more benefit. Says that مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. If there is another hadith, amazing, and this is in Hadith al-Qudsi. A Hadith al-Qudsiyya, in a sense, they are the sisters of Quran. It is the word of Allah, but it could be to any prophet. Quran is the word of Allah, but only to Rasulullah. So all these Ahadith al-Qudsiyya that we have, it's the word of Allah to different prophets, and they have been collected. Over here it says that Abdi, بِحَقِّكَ عَلَيَّ أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ, says that my servant, بِحَقِّكَ عَلَيَّ, by the right, you have on me, that is God. أُحِبُّكَ, I love you. Allah says that, by the right, you have on me the God, I love you. فَبِحَقِّي عَلَيْكَ أَحِبَّنِي, by the right I have on you, you also love me. It's a great saying. Now, what right does God has on us? He has every right. But what right do we have on God? Nothing. But He brings Himself so down, and that is for us to grow. So what have we done? Have we eased any task of Allah? Did we increase His honor? Did we increase His might? Nothing. So whatever we did it for ourselves, despite He puts Himself so much, brings Himself so low. And this is something that we, the teaching that we have on the day of Ashura, Abu Abdullah, in his last moments, he says that Ridhan bi ridhaq, that I am pleased with your pleasure, wa tasliman li amrik, and I submit to your command, la ma'buda siwak, there is no Lord but you, ya ghiyath al mustaghithin. That everything which he has given away for God, to the existence of God, teaches that we possess nothing. All that is possessed is by Allah. When He brings Himself so down, it is to teach us, to educate us, to elevate us, to bring us to a higher level. Prophet Yusuf, he was in the prisons. There he has some problems and he wants them to be sorted, some du'as to be granted. He says, God, by the right my father has, fulfill these pledges I have. Immediately, wahi is revealed to him. Says that, your father, what right does he have? What has he done? We gave him 11 sons. One of them went missing. He sat and stood everywhere. He cried, he wept. What right does he have? And then he says to Prophet Yusuf that if you want to pray and if you want to ask Allah by the mediation of someone, say this way: Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa Aliyyin wa Fatima wal Hasani wal Husayn, and then have your pledges and they will be granted, not anyone else. The same thing is seen in the end of Ziyarat al-Jami'at al-Kabira. There says that فَبِحَقِّهِمُ الَّذِي أَوْجَبْتَ لَهُمْ عَلَيْكَ, that by the mediation of Ahlul Bayt, الَّذِي أَوْجَبْتَ لَهُمْ عَلَيْكَ, despite no one has right on God, he says that عَبْدِي, no one of us has any right on God, still he says that عَبْدِي بِحَقِّكَ عَلَيَّ إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ, by the right you have on me, I love you. And then you also, by the right I have on you, you love God. That is, be obedient to God. He says so that his creation, they come to him as if he is in debt, as if he is in need, and all that is for us to grow. So this unlimited link, or this unlimited mercy and love from Allah has descended onto his creation. It is available there. So we have to set our transponders. We have to link and relate to that mercy of Allah so that we too get connected to that mercy. So from Allah, it is present and we have to relate to him. Awliyaullah ma'asumeen, they also have a similar bond. That is, that immense mercy and love is present from them, and they also relate to the creation, again with that mercy and love, that is with that rahmah and with that rahmaniyya. May that be in takween, may that be in tashree. Takween is the genesis, is the creation, and tashree, it's the sharia. In both ways, they are the custodians of this universe. There is an amazing phrase in one of the ziyarat that we have for Abu Abdullah. It says that iradatul rabb fi maqadir umurin تَهْبِتُ إِلَيْكُمْ وَتَسْدُرُ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ, that the intention and the irada of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in all affairs, in all destiny, تَهْبِتُ إِلَيْكُمْ, it descends to you, Ahlul Bayt, وَتَسْدُرُ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ, and from there it distributes to everywhere. So as if they are the distribution center. So his mercy, his intentions, his command, his irada comes to this pure household, and from there it is distributed to everyone. So that is that wilaya they have. When we say that Ahlul Bayt, they have wilaya, what does that mean? They are the custodians, what does that mean? Or when we say that a father, he has a wilaya, he is the wali of a daughter, and if she needs to marry someone, she needs the permission of the father. Without the permission of the father, she cannot, she has committed a sin. Or some say that the contract is batil, because he has wilaya. Why does he have wilaya? Now that wilaya or that veto power is given to the father based upon the love he has to his children. He gives away everything for the sake of their children. He gives away everything. And that is based upon the love which he has. And he wants the benefit of his daughter. And that's why Allah says that I've given you that power, that veto power, that wilaya, that you take the decision for her. So that, again, it's based on love. But if it is a father who is careless, who does not care at all, who has no love for his children, then again, that veto power also doesn't exist. So that exists based upon that love. So, as Allah has that mercy and love on his creation, awliyaullah also have that mercy and love, have that wilaya. Father, again, on a lower level, he has the same wilaya over his children, over his daughter. Ahlul Bayt, again, they have created a similar link with the entire creation, and that too is based on love. If you look into the performance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that when the Prophet, he saw that the invitation or the propagation which he has, or the message which he is delivering to the people is not being accepted, no one is accepting, what he does, he repents, he cries, and he increases the worship which he does. He increases his services, he increases his own performance, saying that there should be something wrong in me, the defect should be in me that people are not accepting my word. Instead of taunting and mocking at the people, he punishes and imposes things upon himself. Then Allah, ayah is revealed, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى, that my beloved messenger, I don't want you to put yourself into so much pressure, tension, that if they are not accepting the message, it's not your fault. But he, because of that immense love which he has to the creation of Allah, he puts himself in under pressure, worships more, so that maybe as a result of that worship, they accept his word. Now the last ayah that was revealed upon the Holy Prophet, what is that? وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, that is, the Almighty will give you in abundance a lot, that whatsoever you ask will be given to you, that is, as a result of those services which you provided. Now all that was based on love. He serves the community, the creation. Again, to understand this in easier words, in the advent of Islam, when the Muslims were taught by one of these Jews, he came, he taught the Muslims, and it so happens that for a few days the Jew was absent. Rasulullah inquires that, where is that teacher who used to come? He is informed that he is ill, very ill. He goes to visit him. And when he comes there, he sees that he is in a very bad shape and he won't live for long. And then he says that, will you embrace? He looks at his parents, the father and the mother. Now again, the respect he has to the Prophet and the respect he has to the parents. Now the parents, they understand his desire is that he wants to embrace. As a mark of respect to the parents who are Jews, he is looking at them. They say, if your wish is that you embrace, embrace, we don't mind. He accepts the Prophet. He recites the formula, the Shahadatain. He also repeats. And after saying the Shahadatain, he dies. Now that he dies, Rasulullah says, this is my property. That body is not your property anymore. He is my property and I will take care of him. I will bury him. The funeral services will be provided by me. So that again, the whole thing that Rasulullah has is based on love. It's based on compassion. It's based on mercy. As Allah has created the similar link with his creation, Awliyaullah also have the similar bond with. So Ma'asumeen also, they have created a similar relationship with the creation as Allah has. In a hadith, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that they, Ahlul Bayt, run after people to sort out their affairs, to sort out their problems. Which of, and again, now if we look into our performance, which of the tasks of Amir al-Mu'mineen have we eased? Nothing. Which of the tasks of Ahlul Bayt have we eased? Nothing. But still, they come after us. Inni uridukum lillah wa antum turidunani li anfusikum. So every one of us has heard that on the eve of Ashura, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, he puts the light off. And then says, leave. Why does he say that? So there are many wisdoms in that. One of the reasons is that he does not want that selfishness to remain in these people. He wants this group of Aba Abdullah to be a crystal clear group without any want and attachment. And at the same time, he wants to say that Imam, he is not in need of these people. They are in need of Imam. This is again another teaching when he says that leave, that I don't want you. It's you that who want me. The same thing on the day of Ashura, when he says leave, leave, that he doesn't want, after all he will die, whether you be with him or whether you don't be with him. He wants them to be with the Imam on their own without that selfishness in them. So that is again another teaching that we have with reference to the day of Ashura, and the same thing is seen on with Hilal bin Nafi on the night of that day when Imam was having a watch at the tents to see how everything is. Hilal bin Nafi was following the Imam. No one else was there, just the Imam and Hilal bin Nafi. Imam points out at the two mountains and says that, Hilal, you can run away. There's no one here and it seems to be safe over there. Go. Hilal says that, Imam, what do you say? Falls onto the feet of the Imam. Says, a life long I've been waiting for an opportunity to serve you. Now that that opportunity has knocked my door, you want me to leave? I won't leave. I'll stay with you. Now all these are these great people which are with the Imam. Or again, if you see Sa'id bin Abdullah Hanafi on the day of Ashura, when it is time for Salat, he becomes a shield for the Imam. And it is mentioned that 11 spears were shot to this Shaheed. And when Imam finishes his prayers, now those prayers performed by the Imam were Salatul Khawf, as some of the Maqatil have said. Salatul Khawf, it's a very rapid prayer that a person does when he is in danger, like on a battlefield. Imam performs that Salatul Khawf very quickly, and then when he finishes his prayers, Sa'id bin Abdullah, he also falls with 11 shots of spears. And then when he falls into the arms of the Imam, the first thing he says is that, Awafaytu ya Aba Abdullah, was I loyal to you, ya Aba Abdullah? And in reply, Imam says, Naam wa anta amami fil Jannah. Yes, you have, and you are. Amam in Arabic means in front. Many a times this term is misinterpreted, saying that wa anta amami, you are in front of me in the paradise. That's not the case. Amam over here, it means that you are with me, or you are before me, or because Imam is an Imam, he has to be front, he has to be in the front. And that is why it is said that even today, if you go to the shrine of one of the Ma'asumeen and if you say your prayers and you are ahead of the Imam, that prayer is batil, because Imam, he has to be ahead at all times. So over here, when Imam says that wa anta amami fil Jannah, that you are before me, meaning that between him and the Imam, there will be no barriers, there will be no hindrance, there will be no hijab. Because riwayat, they say that even in the hereafter, in the paradise, mu'mineen, if they want to meet ma'sumeen, if they want to meet Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, they will be in the waiting list for 600-700 years. And after crossing that waiting list of 600-700 years, they will be granted a permission to see the Imam. Now for how many minutes, for how long, that is unknown. But for people of this great caliber, like the Ashab who were with the Imam on the day of Ashura, says that, Anta Amami, you are before me. And there are no barriers, there is no hindrance, so whenever it's a free access between you and me in the paradise, it's for those people. And with reference to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, riwayat, they say that the paradise, it was created with the noor of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And again, with reference to the beauty of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, says that Yusuf, he was so beautiful that the women of Misr, they cut their hands when they saw the beauty and when they admired the charm of Yusuf. Riwayat say that when Yusuf will see Abu Abdullah, he will faint. That is the beauty which Abu Abdullah possesses. And great people, they have that great performance. Between them and the Imam, there will be no barrier, there will be no hindrance, and they will be with the Imam. So, benefiting from the Imam, it's a great blessing. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ Quran says that you will be inquired on the Day of Judgment about the Na'im. Na'im is the blessing. That what did you do with... Now, what blessing is that? It's the blessing of Imama. How did you treat the Imam? How were you with the Imam? This blessing that was given to you, how did you do it? Ali ibn Mahziyar, he is among those great personalities who travels for Hajj for 20 years. Now the reason for traveling for Hajj for 20 years is that he wants to meet the Imam. as it was said that tamamul hajj liqa'ul imam, a perfect hajj is a hajj where a person meets the imam, benefits from the imam, to whatever level. He travels to hajj for 20 years, for 19 years. And then after traveling for 19 years, he says, he's an old man now, says that if I was to meet the imam, I would have met him by now. So it seems that there is no chance for me to meet the imam. But it so happens that a communication is given to him, and he is informed that come to Hajj this year and you will meet the imam. Now, first of all, why did he not meet for the 19 years, and how come he met him on the 20th year? Because on the 90, after his 19th Hajj, his heart broke. He cried. And he was desperate. Now, for those 19 years, he was proud. He said that I am going to meet the Imam, I will meet the Imam, without a broken heart. But after those 19 years, and after a broken heart, he is informed that come and you will meet the Imam. For the 20th Hajj, when he comes, and then he meets someone, and he takes him to the tent of the Imam, the first thing Imam says to him is that قَدْ كُنَّا نَتَوَقَّعُكَ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَمَا الَّذِي بَتَعَ عَلَيْنَا, says that I've been waiting for you night and day. Why was all this delay? Why have you come so late? It was mentioned the other day that we may not be at fault for sending the Imam into Ghaybat, but definitely we are at fault for this delayed arrival of the Imam. The history of Ma'sumin that we have, that we see, many of the afflictions that were seen by Ma'sumin were because they became a shield to protect the lazy Shias of their time. Or what we see today, that Imam becomes a shield and he is imposed to stay back in Ghaybat as a result of the lazy people today. And the same thing was then. For example, with reference to Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu was salam, in a hadith from Usul al-Kafi, he says that he was a shield to protect the lazy Shias of his time. He took the burden, the afflictions on himself so that the Shias, they were protected and they were at ease. Or in other words, the bala that was to come on these people, they took the bala on themselves, the afflictions on themselves. So the same thing is many with all of the a'imma, that from Allah the link was created between him and the creation based on love. The same thing, it's that relationship which is created from a'imma, from ma'sumeen, and us, it's based on love. Because they love us so much, they are prepared to take all the balas and the afflictions onto themselves, or they become a shield to protect us, whence it should be the other way around, that we should become a shield to protect them. Or what we recite in that dua, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema, that make it as such that we do something so that the burden on the Imam could be eased by our performance, could be lessened to whatever is possible. Or for example, musibatan ma a'zamaha wa a'zama raziyataha fil Islam wa fi jami' as-samawati wal ard, as we see in Ziyarat Ashura, the Imam, he becomes a shield to protect us. He puts himself into danger, he accepts all those balas, all those afflictions. There is a hadith says that it isn't as such that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed on the day of Ashura. Says that ma qutil al Hussein illa fi saqifa. That in reality, if you want to know when was Imam killed, says Imam was killed on the day when this saqifa, this meeting took place. That is when this inhiraf, when this deviation was established after the passing away of the Holy Prophet. It was that place, that spot, when Abu Abdullah was killed, when that deviation took place. And it was mentioned, I believe, that when in that event of Ghadir, which was the most important event with the most witnesses that we have, Shaitan, he comes there in person and is present in that meeting, in that event of Ghadir. Angels, all of them are there. Jibreel is there. Shaitan himself, he doesn't send any representative. He himself comes. And the same thing is seen in Saqifah. When Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's burying Rasulullah and he has done his job, there Salman, he comes and says that, Imam says what happened, says that the first one was selected as the Khalifa. And then he says that, I was amazed to see an old man which we never saw before, and he looked to be very pious. He was crying the most, and he was the first one to extend his bay'at and allegiance to Abu Bakr. We don't know who he was. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that that was Shaitan. He came there in person because the event was an important event and he had to be present over there because that deviation, this foundation of deviation is being laid, so he has to be there to see everything is fine, there are no problems over there. So, says that مَا قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ إِلَّا فِي سَقِيفَةٍ. Hussein was killed in Saqifah. Or elsewhere says that بِأَبِي مَنْ أَسْجَرُوهُ يَوْمَ إِسْمَيْنِ, that by my father who was killed on that Monday. That Monday is the day of Saqifah, when the foundation of Inhiraf was laid. So the bond which Allah has created with His creation is based on love, and the bond which Ma'sumeen have created with us, that too is based on love. And the bond which we need to create with each other, that should also be based on love. And again in Riwayat we find that if I respect you, I have respected the Imam of time. If you respect me, you have respected the Imam of time. Says that because each one of us is a branch of that wilaya, or each one of us is a franchise of the Imam. So if we have good relationships with each other, if we respect each other, we have respected the Imam first. If we disrespect each other, the first thing we have done is that we have disrespected the Imam. So that is how this whole thing has been laid, based upon love, and that should continue throughout our life. We talk about tawalla, tabarra, or tawalli and tabarri, and normally we count them in furu'adin, Tawheed, Adl, Nabuwa, Imam, Qiyamah. We don't bring that tawalli and tabarri over there. But in reality, that tawalla and tabarra, they should belong to the usuluddin. That is because when you have that aqeedah in worshipping God, in embracing Him, in accepting Him, it means that immediately you have to put away from everything which is against God. Tawalla means love, tabarra means hate. Tawalla means to accept a wilaya, tabarra means to put away a wilaya. So we have two wilayas. We have a wilaya of Shaitan and we have a wilaya of Allah. So whosoever respects each other from among the mu'mineen, he has moved within the framework of wilayatullah. As we see in Ayatul Kursi, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum ash-shaytan. So once, on one hand we have awliya'ullah, on the other hand we have awliya'u ash-shaytan. So whosoever has disrespected from among the mu'mineen, he has automatically fallen into the wilaya of Shaitan. That is what the teaching is. In a hadith, in a debate you could say, or in a contest, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he holds a quiz in the mosque. And he says that, أَيُّ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ أَوْثَقْ, says that, from among the strings of Iman, which is the strongest? Everyone says something. أَيُّ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ أَوْثَقْ, that which is the strongest strings of faith, of Iman. Everyone gave an answer. Someone stood up, said fast. Someone said jihad. Someone said salat. And in reply to each one of them, Rasulullah, he says that everything you have mentioned is good. Someone said umrah. Someone said hajj, etc., etc. But he in reply says that it is tawalla and tabarra. That is love and hate in easy words. That the strongest strings of iman are love and hate. That you accept Allah, basis of love. You hate shaitan, basis of, again, love to Allah, hate to shaitan. You accept that love to Ahlul Bayt, and again, immediately that hate to all those who stand against the Ahlul Bayt. There Rasulullah says that that is the strongest, and the essence and spirit of faith is tawalla and tabarra. Or in other words, it's that taslim that a person submits to the way of life or to that wilaya of Allah and stands against the wilaya of shaitan. And that is why we find that when Amir al-Mu'mineen is inquired about Salat, he says, Anas Salat, I am the prayer. Says, I am the fast. Or the same thing is seen with other ma'sumeen. They say that nahnu salat wa nahnu siyam, that we are fast, we are prayers. What does that mean? That we are the prayers and fast? It doesn't mean that you're bowing, you're bending down. It means that is ma'sumeen. It means that the face of every action, it should be based on wilaya. The face of every action that we do, it should be based on wilaya. The essence of every haram is submitting and saying yes to shaitan. Whenever you do good, whenever you do mustahab, the essence of that is that you have accepted and you have entered into the wilaya of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is why you find that when a baby is born, riwayat says that that surface of that heart of that baby is crystal clear, white. And as that baby grows, and when a sin is done by that, when he is an adult, there is a mark on the heart of that, on the surface of his heart. If he repents, that mark, it is erased, and he is back to square one. If he doesn't repent, and sin over sin over sin over sin, a time comes when that crystal clear surface of the heart becomes dark, becomes black, and Quran says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٍ. That Allah then engraves on that, puts a stamp on it, puts a seal on that, and nothing can be done at that time. And that is why we are said that the moment a sin is done by us, immediately repent, immediately ask Allah to forgive. And a 7-hour grace period is given to each one of us when a wrong thing is done. Says that if you repent sincerely, saying Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa hayyul qayyum zul jalali wal ikram wa atubu ilayhi, those angels who are instructed to write that sin, they will be asked not to register that wrong that was done. But if someone doesn't repent, that sin will be written. So the relationship which Allah has with the creation is based on love. And again, ma'sumeen have the similar bond with us, and we are also asked to have a similar bond with other members of the community. Breaking a heart of a mu'min in particular, that distances us from Allah and brings us closer to the wilayat of Allah. So, tawalla, in easier words, it's all these wajibat that we do. Tabarra, it's all these haram, every makruh, or everything which has the essence of the wilaya of shaitan is known as tabarra. So therefore the religion, all of it, totally it's based on tawalla and tabarra, on love and hate. Prosperous is one who bases his livelihood on this structure, and that is love and hate. And the same thing is seen with Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim, he is the friend of Allah. Allah asks him, Ibrahim, are you better or the prophet of the end of time? Ibrahim replies that the prophet of the end of time. Allah says, why? He says, because you love him more. So the basis, the criteria which Ibrahim has set over there. So in a divine community, in a community of mu'mineen, that criteria should be Allah, that love and hate, that we have bond with each other because Allah likes that. We hate a person, and again, this is the teaching to us, that if a person from among the mu'mineen, God forbid, if someone does something wrong, we have the right only to say only that wrong that he has done, we can talk about that. We can't talk bad about anything else. If God forbid he has started a business with haram over there, you can sever ties with him or talk about him only in that aspect, only in that haram which he's doing, not more than that. So only that has, because that bad is bad. The everything else which he has will be good, inshallah. So in a divine community, the criteria of a relationship should be based on this love and hate. And again, love for it. And again, if we sever ties with each other, saying that we don't want to have ties, then its meaning is that Imam also should break ties with us because we are bad. But he doesn't break ties with us. He has that bond, that love, and it remains. If we break ties with each other with that excuse, it means that he also, who is our master, should break ties with us with the same excuse. In Usul-i-Kafi, there is a beautiful hadith, and this is from the time of our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. A farmer from Ahwaz, from Iran, he goes all the way to Medina to our sixth Imam. And then says to the Imam that the governor, this has imposed upon me a tax of 10,000 dirhams. I am hand to mouth and I cannot pay that. If I do that, then I cannot carry on with my livelihood. Imam says, what shall I do? He says that the governor in Ahwaz, he is a friend of yours. If you just write him a little note, he might be a bit lenient with me. Imam says, okay. And the name of that governor is Najashi, that hakim. Imam writes a note, just a small sentence. What is that? Surra akhak yasurrakallah. Make your brother happy, Allah will make you happy. That's it. He comes, brings this note of Imam to Ahwaz. Gives that note to Najashi, the governor. He reads it with utmost respect. Says that, how much is your tax? Says 10,000 dirhams. He instructs the accountants that from his personal funds, says, pay that 10,000 tax of his. He says, are you pleased now? In reply, he says that, e jo'iltu fidak. Yes, very. And again says that, next year's tax, which is going to be 10,000 again, that too, I'll pay it. You don't worry about that. Are you pleased now? Again says, E jo'iltu fidak. Yes, I'm very happy. May I be sacrificed to you. And then he says that, from my personal wealth, I'll give you a ride, a horse or a donkey, whatever was present over there. You can have it. Says, are you pleased now? He says, E jo'iltu fidak. For every sentence he says, E jo'iltu fidak. Yes, very. That is, may I be sacrificed to you. And then says that, this rug on which you are standing, because I received that message of my Imam, on that rug also can be yours. Take it. Are you pleased now? He says, E jo'iltu fidak. Yes, very. And then it so happens that this person, he goes to Medina and he sees the Imam and he says, Imam, this person, Najashi, was a wonderful person. Imam says, what happened? He reveals exactly what happened, that I went to him, I gave him your note, your message, he gave me that 10,000 and this is what I said, Ijo'iltu fidak. And he says that whenever I was narrating this story to the Imam, I saw the Imam so happy, so pleased. And then when I finished saying that, he says that, Imam, it was me who benefited, but I see that you are pleased. How come? And then in reply says that, E wallah, laqad sarra Allah wa sarra Rasulah. Yes, by God, he has pleased Allah and he has pleased the Prophet, that he has made them happy. So, helping each other, making each other happy, And again, based on that love, for mu'mineen, there is a special criteria. That as Allah says that وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, that when it comes to mu'mineen, he has a special share of mercy. The same thing is with the imam. He has a general mercy for everyone. But for the Shias, for the mu'mineen, he has a special mercy, as it was mentioned. For the people who have shortfall in their funds, for the people who have shortfall in their amal, imam and Ahlul Bayt, they try and compensate it because of that special love which they have. Ashura is to promote and to further confirm that tawalla and tabarra, that tawalli and tabarri, that love and hate. There is this great alim of the Shia world, marhum Shaheed Allama Ayatullah al-Uzma, I believe Muhammad Baqir Durji is the full name. He dies about 30-35 years ago. He was suffocated, 40-50 years ago, suffocated by Reza Shah in Isfahan. He was killed by them. And this beautiful person, when he was in Najaf, it so happens that a Sunni alim, he comes to him, he has a debate. Now, both of them are dignified persons. They have a debate. And they talk about the haqqaniyya, the rightfulness of the madhab of Shia, and he about the Sunnis. And they say that we'll have a debate. Whoever wins, if you win, I'll become a Sunni. If I win, you become a Shia. They say, okay. A place is allocated, and that is the graveyard Wadi Salam in Najaf. So they say, for 40 days we'll have this debate, we'll have this talk. And on the 40th day we'll decide which one of us is to embrace what faith. He says that for 39 days, every day I used to go, he used to pose a question and I have to answer him, prove him from ayat, from riwayat, that we are haq, we are right, what has been told to us is the true faith, etc., etc. He says for 39 days, he posed a question. I proved from all the books that I had what I knew, but he would never accept. Now, when after this 39th meeting, and tomorrow is the last day, he says, when I couldn't find a solution, I came straight to the shrine of Amirul Mu'mineen. There, the adab is that you say, recite the izn-e-dukhul. Izn-e-dukhul is that permission which you seek from Ma'asum before you enter his shrine. He says, because I was so much upset, I was shaken, I did not recite that izn-e-dukhul, just went straight inside the haram without seeking his permission. And there I'm hot-tempered, saying that, Imam, what is all this? Whatever I knew, I told him and he would not accept. Whatever I could, I did. I didn't go there to defend my father. I didn't go there to defend my mother. I didn't go there to defend my uncle, my aunt. I went there to defend you. Why is it that you didn't help me? He is sharp and then in rage, hot-tempered, and then comes back. Has his whatever complaint to the imam. And again, this is a beautiful way of how a person can have a relationship with his master. That he's so close to him. When they are happy, they share. When they have complaints, they share that together with the imam. Again, imam has a communication with him, says that, why are you so much enraged? Why are you so much hot-tempered? So you were calm all these days. Says that, now for 39 days, he asked you all these questions. What you do is that tomorrow is the last day. This time you ask him one question, and that will find you a solution. He says, what is that? Imam says, just asked him, why is the grave of Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam anonymous and unknown? Why is it unknown? He says, is that it? That's it, nothing else. Then he is a bit calm now. Comes to the 40th meeting with that Sunni alim and says, now all these days you've been asking me questions and I've been proving from Quran, from Sunnah, from Hadith, from Seerah, and you wouldn't admit and accept anything. Now my question to you today, just one question on this one day. He says, yes, go ahead. says, why is the grave of Hazrat Zahra unknown? Why doesn't anyone know where the grave is? He says, this doesn't sound as your word. What is the reason? What is that? He says, whatever. Give me an answer first. Then he says that the reason might be because of her wasiyya, that she didn't want the grave to be known to anyone. Then says, why was that? Why didn't she want the grave to be known to anyone? Why should should have that? She said that it was her wasiyya. Then he says, why did she have that wasiyya? Then he says that he was offended. She was offended. With who? With Abu Bakr. Why was she offended? Because she was deprived from that fidak. So all these questions, the answers came out from him. And he accepted, embraced. And then tell me now, what was the reason? And how come you asked me this question? He says, I went to my master, to Amirul Mu'mineen. I complained. I asked help from him. And he asked me to pose this question from you. So that Ahlul Bayt, no matter what they are, where they are, even today those barakat are there from them. In this Karbala, the same thing. The whole tragedy of Karbala, the whole message of Karbala, it's the same issue. That it is based on that haq, based on that batil, based on tawalla, based on tabarra, based on love, based on hate. So, on one hand we have awliyaullah, on one hand we have awliyaul shaitan. And we have to pick which path we are going to choose. Abu Abdullah, so long as he was alive, that message was delivered in the best way. After his shahadat again, the same message continued with Abu Abdullah. And it is said that in one of these meetings with which Yazid La'natullah alayh, he had organized after the shahadat of Abu Abdullah, and that is, he invites all the dignitaries, all the ambassadors present in town for a feast, for a festival. He hosts. Everyone comes there, and among them is this ambassador of Rome. Now the ambassador of Rome, he comes there and says that, what is the reason and why have you hosted this festival? Yazid says, now you've just participated, just participate and go. He says, no, I have to report to the Roman Empire, to my emperor, that every meeting I attend, what was the meeting for? Upon his emphasis, now he sees the head of Abu Abdullah placed beside Yazid in that tasht, in that vessel. And there he says that, you see, I've killed him. It was a battle that we won and we killed. He says, who is that? Says, that's Hussein. Who is Hussein? Grandson of the Prophet. Now this Roman ambassador, he says that you killed the grandson of the Prophet, wherein the generation gap between him and the Prophet is just one, that is the mother. How come you could do that? And he says that, me, I am from the progeny of Prophet Dawood, and between me and Dawood there are 70 generations. And even today when I walk in the streets of Rome, people, they come and take the dust of my feet as tabarruk, as mark of respect. How come you killed someone when that generation gap is only one person? And now, there is a heated debate between the two. And Yazid says that, if you don't shut up, I'll kill you. He says, I already saw that. He said, I wondered why the Prophet of Islam came in my dreams this morning and he hugged me. I wondered. I said to myself, I am a Christian and it should be Jesus who should be in my dreams. Why did the Prophet of Islam come to my dreams? And says that, take him, behead him. And when he is taken to be beheaded, he says, one request. Says, what is that? Allow me to embrace this head. Says, okay, permission granted. He picks up the head, embraces, hugs and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then is taken to be beheaded. So the Abu Abdullah, so long as he was alive, the message was delivered. After his shahadat, it's the same thing. And again, it's amazing that when this head of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is brought into the palace of Yazid, it so happens that when the head looks at the household, looks at each one member. But when it comes to Zainab, he closes his eyes. And again, it's amazing that when Zainab is born, when she's given to the father, to the mother, to the grandfather, to the brother, her eyes are closed. And when she comes into the laps of her brother Hussein, she opens her eyes. Yeah, marhum Ayatullah Marashi, he says that might be the reason is that he says that Zainab, how can all these services of yours be thanked? How can I extend my gratitude to you? The services which you provided after me, how you took care of my household, my caravan, my orphans, my children, the women. And above all, it's this Imam of time, Sajjad, although he is younger than you in age, how you submitted to that Imam. So the message given by Abu Abdullah, it's dynamic throughout. And again, when you see that in, should have been these days, that in those palace, in that palace of Yazid La'natullah alayh, there, all of these prisoners, they are brought forth. And Ibn Ziyad, everyone is over there in mourning, Umm Kulzum delivers a sermon, and the entire gathering mourns. Now, our Imam Sajjad, he delivers a sermon. ثُمَّ إِنَّ زَيْنَ الْعَابِدِينَ أَوْمَا إِلَى النَّاسِ أَنِسْكُتُ. He points out at the crowd and says, quiet. Everyone is quiet. ثُمَّ قَالْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, says, O people, مَنْ عَرَفَنِي فَقَدْ عَرَفَنِي. Those of you who know me, they know me. Those of you who do not know me, let me introduce myself. أَنَا أُعَرِّفُهُ. بِنَفْسِي أَنَا عَلِي بْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ بْنِ عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِب. I am Ali, the son of Hussein and the son of Abu Talib. أَنَا بْنُ مَنْ تُهِكَتْ حُرْمَتُهُ وَسُلِبَتْ نِعْمَتُهُ. I am the one who was insulted. I am the one who was disgraced. I am the one who was dishonored. Says that I am the one whose possessions were seized, were taken away. I am the one whose household was arrested. I am ibn al-mazbuh bishatt al-furati. You want to know who I am? I am the son of that one who was killed, who was sacrificed, who was slaughtered by the river Furat. Min ghayri dhaqlin wala turatin an ibn man qutil. And I am the son of that great Imam. And then Imam talks to the people. And then they start saying that we can be at your service. And then Imam is sharp at this time. Says that you want to be in my service? My father, you invited him. You invited him and you killed him. Now it's my turn. Hayhat, hayhat, ayyuhal ghadaratul makra. And then says that the reasons, Imam on the day of Ashura says that the reason for you not accepting, not embracing, not accepting these communications of Allah is that haram that you have consumed, is that haram you have eaten and you have filled in your tummies, as a result of which these communications would never get to you. And then it's Zainab's turn. When she comes into that majlis, now again, she coming to that majlis, it's a great disgrace. The daughter of Ali coming into the majlis of that mal'oon and najis majlis. There he says that, Zainab, did you see what Allah did to you? She, in reply, says that, ma ra'aytu illa jameela, that whatsoever I saw on this day was beautiful. Whatsoever I saw was wonderful. Now, again, if you look into this whole thing, what was wonderful on that day of Ashura? It was just a massacre, it was just killing, it was just a bloodshed, it was just burning down of tents, people being killed. So it was just a mess. What was that beautiful on that day of Ashura? She says, beautiful? I saw the beauty of Allah. I saw loyalty on that day. I saw wafa on that day. I saw submission on that day. How a person could submit to Allah. How a person could be sincere to Allah. All those beauties were seen on the day of Ashura. The respect a son has to the father was seen on the day of Ashura. The respect of an imam to an imam was seen on the day of Ashura. The respect, the beauty of a person thirsty and by the river who could have dipped his hands and quenched his thirst, he doesn't do that. He brings the water to the tent. That was the beauty that was seen on the day of Ashura. All what I saw was beautiful. Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma aghfir lana wa liwalidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a wa li jami'i ummati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ajjil fi faraji maulana sahib al-zaman وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. For all those who are ill and ailing, there are many requests for dua. Many are critically ill. Many have been. For all of them, and for all those who have passed away, for their ranks to be elevated, for a share of this thawab, of this majlis to be sent to everyone, to all our loved ones to whom we have no access today, to be sent to them, we'll recite the ayah a few times. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. مَاتَمَ حُسَيْنُ.